Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But now you finally have a president who understands that I'm not supposed to be the president of the world. I'm supposed to be the president of the United States of America.
Part of the president's comments last night in North Carolina, and boy, he just needs to keep repeating that because it must just eat at the craw of the left, the Barack Obama. He's not the president of the world. He's like, listen, the day I become more popular than Barack Obama in Europe, I'm not doing my job, was another bite that the president gave us last night. So, hey, welcome back into the program. You know, I said this a little earlier. I was just expressing my surprise that it's still a headline in the news that the president alluded to Alabama being in the line of the hurricane, and everybody wants to argue that, of course, they weren't because the hurricane turned north. But all he pointed out was that in the original path of the storm, Alabama could have been affected. As late as this morning, as late as 5 minutes ago, I turned on one of the morning network newscasts here, and what was their not their lead story, but their second to lead story in their newscast was a correspondent in front of the White House talking about the NOAA controversy on the president's map. They're still talking about it. Wouldn't the better second story in a network newscast have been a reporter standing in the Bahamas somewhere that were utterly devastated by the storm, talking about repair efforts instead of concentrating on something that doesn't matter? But that's where the priority of the mainstream media is these days, on things that don't matter. One thing that doesn't matter is gun control legislation that they're going to bring up, because I don't believe Mitch McConnell is going to allow a vote on it. But they're going to make a lot of noise about that, and they've already started in Washington, D.C. Let me get to my guest right now. He is Lars Dahlside. He is a spokesman for the NRA and their legislative arm, the ILA, the Institute for Legislative Action. Lars, great to have you back on the show.
Appreciate you having me again, Mark.
Absolutely. You know, I read the headline this morning that the NRA is going to court over the city of San Francisco because you've got a group of just crazed lefties in California that somehow want to suggest the National Rifle Association is the equivalent of a terror organization. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you get a lot of things that are coming out of San Francisco that are unbelievable these days.
Yeah.
And so to hear them go off the rails like this, it's not all that surprising. It's incredibly disappointing, though, because we are talking about a group. We're representing more than 5 million people. And talk about the supporters. You could probably quadruple, if not expand that number by 10 to 1,000. Who knows? The city of San Francisco decided to go ahead and declare us a terrorist or domestic terrorist organization. And it's incredibly disappointing, if not outright insulting.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was glad to see the NRA push back on that. You know, one of the things we're going to hear of this week, Joe Manchin's been pushing it. Several of the Democratic senators, I've now seen a Republican or two who's been talking about it, is trying to force the president's hand on some new background check bill, which I pointed out, even in this latest crime in Odessa, Texas, wouldn't have made a difference.
Well, that's what we're seeing a lot of these things. There's people who are suggesting all sorts of, we should do this and we should do that. And the problem is that the efforts and the bills and the legislation and restrictions that they're throwing out there either would not have affected an event that has inspired these things, or it has nothing to do with it whatsoever. And there are a number of gun laws that are already on the book. There are thousands of gun laws, if you go across the nation, that are already on the book. And if we would have the ability for the people to go through and be prosecuted and actually be charged and, as I said, prosecuted for these different crimes, then we wouldn't have to worry about adding something new that truly is only going to affect the law-abiding gun owner.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, what concerns me is that you've got people like Senator Romney, Senator Collins, and a few others with an R after their name who are claiming they're going to get on board with this. This is a great example of legislation and legislators who think if they do something, then they can go back and argue to their constituents that they took action. If that something doesn't accomplish anything except affecting law-abiding citizens, why would you do that? I'm baffled by this.
Well, we've seen a whole lot of that lately. The wants and the need and the drive to do something. The something that needs to be done is actually keeping the guns out of the hands of dangerous criminals, prosecuting the gun crimes, and addressing our broken mental health system. And that's the thing that's missing. Now, there are, as I said before, there are already bills. There's already laws on the books that do these yes. things and address these things. They're just not being utilized.
No, I would agree completely with that. I wonder when I see, for example, I think it was Chuck Schumer who argued last week that if you had just made the changes we wanted, the guy in Odessa wouldn't have been able to get a gun. They're focusing on people who are private sellers of guns who apparently have a business doing it. But by doing that, they're not following the law either. I mean, the point is they're not enforcing the laws that would prevent people from doing what some of these, in effect, unlicensed gun dealers are doing. One more law is not going to stop them.
Right. I'm sorry that I keep repeating myself, but that is the main problem right now, is people are breaking the law. And when people break the law, the response should not be, let's pass new laws that actually won't have any effect on what just happened, because there are already laws on the books that do affect what just happened. And if we could get people focused in on that, the idea that restricting the rights of people who are actually following the law is not going to affect those whose only issue or whose only drive is to actually break the law. Let's treat the criminals like criminals and leave the law-abiding gun owners alone.
So has the NRA agreed to any of these changes or any change at all that's been suggested when it comes to current gun laws? Has the NRA signed on to any of those, like the bump stock ban or any of that?
We haven't been pushing any sort of new gun control whatsoever.
I didn't think so. I just wanted to I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something here, because I thought I'd read somewhere at some point that there was some indication somebody would look the other way if on the bump stock ban or something. Is the bump stock ban something the NRA supported or just didn't take a position on?
Well, we said that the ATF should go ahead and look at that and decide how to classify those. And they did and came forth with that action. But we weren't supporting any legislation whatsoever that would have restricted anyone's rights.
Right. Yeah, it's an accessory is what it is. It's not a part of, it's not a firearm. So I agree with you completely on that one. What about the situation at Walmart? I mean, I know the NRA issued a statement on it. Again, the only people they're impacting there really are everyday sportsmen who want to go there to buy ammunition for their handguns.
Right. There are plenty of retailers out there who go ahead and sell ammunition. They're of the national side. You have the mom and pop stores out there that sell that. You have, you know, my favorite example, like to say Bob's Gun Shop. It's right there down the road. There are plenty of opportunities and places to go. And if you're going to throw a little bit more money into the smaller businesses, then great. That's the way to go. And it is disappointing to see that Walmart would go ahead and react the way that they did.
Yeah. We see it over and over again, particularly here in the state of Illinois, where they've passed laws now under Governor Pritzker that so choke with regulations, these small business owners, that a lot of the mom and pop gun stores in Illinois are facing the threat of extinction.
Yeah, we have seen that in Illinois. And we warned about that as they were considering those different bills. about what it was going to mean to these smaller gun shops. And everyone was like, no, that's not going to happen. That's not the intent. Well, that's the problem. It's never the intent. The intent is always to make things perfect and beautiful and fantastic. But when you put these things into practice, there are the unintended consequences that come through, and we're seeing that happen right now.
Yeah, very true. When part of the talking points of the Democrats earlier this week, and it's not just Democrats saying this, but Amy Klobuchar, I know, said it, Beto O'Rourke, a few of the others, they are all in on reinstituting the so-called assault weapons ban, even though I don't believe there's anything such as an assault weapon, at least it's available for the general public. They're all in. They're, for 2020, that is, you know, they've got people promising, like Kamala Harris, if she gets elected, she's taking executive action on something like this, which I think would be stopped dead in the courts. What's the NRA's position on all of the language that we're hearing from these candidates on the left side of the aisle right now?
Well, all you have to do is go back to the 1990s and look at what Bill Clinton did with his assault weapons ban. It sounded like a good idea. It sounded like a great idea. They put it in place. They have it run for 10 years. And after it's done, they do an investigation and find out that it had no impact. It had no impact whatsoever. And if that's the case, if back then, when we're talking, 24 years ago, 25 years ago, if it didn't have any impact then, why do they expect that it's going to have any impact now? And one of the other things that people just don't realize when you look at that, the type of firearms that they're talking about, they're responsible for, I think it's a tenth of 0.1% of all firearm-related homicides. So they're not actually going after anything that is going to make a big difference. It's just a nice way to grab headlines and, you know, hopefully score a few more political points.
Yeah, that's all I can figure. Maybe the same thing as the folks at NASCAR. I saw where the NRA ILA had responded to that as well. And I had a gentleman on last week discussing it. But these organizations seem to have boards that are run by politically correct folks these days who, if they don't understand their base any better than that, I mean, beyond the fact that it's just bad business, NASCAR announced, for people that didn't keep up with it, that they were no longer going to accept any advertising from people that sold long rifles.
Yeah, it's something to see. But as these things go forward, there's a big move right now. There's a big push with the campaigns coming up in 2020 that you're going to have everyone over there who's trying to grab headlines running for president on the Democratic side, that they're going to try to make these outlandish pushes, these outlandish claims. And this is just another example of another group sort of falling in with that. Now, you have there the boards there that with people with a variety of different backgrounds that may not actually understand the firearms side of what the people do, what the people are. I mean, when you talk about the average law-abiding gun owner, you're talking about the doctors and lawyers and the guy who coaches your kid's soccer team, the person who's, you know, running the swim team down there at the YMCA. These are not bad people. These are good law-abiding people who are only looking to protect themselves, protect their families, and protect their homes.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I would encourage people, and maybe you can just cover this for me real quickly. The legislative arm of the IRA of the NRA pays close attention to laws that are going on, let's say, for example, in Illinois, because Missouri, we seem to have a pretty good handle on that. But in Illinois and some of these other states where they're really trying to get off track with some of these laws in the state, that's what you guys do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We try to stay on top of everything that's going on nationally, everything that's going on state by state. And then as things go down to sometimes even city by city, it all depends on exactly what's out there, how they're trying to come after the law-abiding gun owner, and what we can do to make sure that everybody's rights are protected.
Yeah. Lars, the website is nraila.org. I would encourage people to go on there and sign up for updates so you have an idea on what's going on around the country. Lars Dahlside, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, always good to get you on here. Appreciate that. And our thanks to the friends over at the Range St. Louis West who sponsor our 2A Tuesday, where we try to keep you up to date on some of what's going on around the country. Unbelievable. The Board of Aldermen in the city of San Francisco, I don't think that's what they call them, but their city board of supervisors declared the National Rifle Association, a lobbying organization protecting my Second Amendment rights, a domestic terror organization. But what did they not see what Planned Parenthood did last year? The NRA didn't take a single life. They weren't responsible for any member of the NRA taking a single life last year. And this is the kind of garbage. Fortunately, the NRA's gone to a court to sue over it. I was glad to see that. And, you know, I did bring it up with Lars there, but this is a story this morning. Mitt Romney, Mittens, as we like to call him, he's going all in for universal background checks. And I don't know how often you can go over this again and again. The argument most recently was the case in Odessa, where the guy was turned down when he went for a background check. Okay? This happens. People get turned away. Does it mean they should be prosecuted because they tried to go in and apply for a license to get a gun? I'm not sure you'd go in and apply knowing you were going to get turned down. And then he went somewhere else and got the gun. They seem to think that if they had universal background checks, that they would have stopped that. But there are already laws on the books, as Lars said, that prevent you from selling a weapon to somebody who shouldn't have one. And there's a long list of reasons why somebody shouldn't have one. And if you're selling a gun in a private transaction and you don't ask those questions, you are violating, you're a criminal. So whoever sold that gun to him committed a criminal act and should be prosecuted. You don't need another layer of background checks to make that situation illegal. Because that's what criminals do. And yet now you've got Mitt Romney on there. You've got the Senator Susan Collins, who's trying to get reelected, has signed on board with something like this. And they're starting to threaten the president that he's got about a week to get this done. And if he won't come back to them in that period of time, then we're running out of time. We're going to try to negotiate with him so he'll do something. He's got to do something. That's the talking point these days, is something. Something's got to be done. Even if it would make not one shred of difference that a maniac is going to pick up a gun and harm somebody with it. I would agree with our caller earlier. Maybe a 10-year minimum mandatory sentence would have an impact on this. If you're caught with a gun, you're not supposed to have it, you're committing a crime with it, automatic 10 years, then we'll talk about every other crime you committed. Just automatic. Throw them in jail. That's how that works.
I tell you what people do want. They want this over. They want it done. They want us to get on with the rest of our lives. And I think, you know, who wants this to dominate our politics, our country for the next 5 years, 10 years?
I totally agree.
Just do it.
To be fair,
well, and I'd like it over. And that's why I'm prepared to help the Prime Minister. I'm prepared to put country before party. And I will work with Boris Johnson if he goes for a clean break.
Nigel Farage. I could listen to that accent all day. Have I mentioned that?
You have.
We should get Katie Hopkins on here again. Particularly since they've shut the government down over there. They've closed down Parliament in the United Kingdom. Think about that for a minute. Wow. Pretty amazing. It wouldn't happen here, obviously, but they have a little different form of government over there. And they wouldn't vote for new elections, so they're stuck with what they've got. And Boris Johnson says he's going to get a clean break on this. He'd rather be dead in a ditch than not get it done. Oh boy, I don't know how that's going to end. I really don't. It's going to be interesting to kind of see where things go with that one for sure. I know what you mentioned as we were coming in there. What was this video of Rob Gronkowski like tossing a football or catching a football before the Patriots game the other day? Now everybody's speculating he might come back. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't know there was.
They are speculating that he said he was going to have a big announcement. I don't know if that happened or not, but they speculated that he might be coming back to the Patriots.
Well, he's on Fox and Friends this morning talking about how he's going to be involved with some CBD company.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the whole story, right? Yeah. He was getting into the CBD.
Yeah.
Biz. Look how big that dude is.
He's enormous.
Well, Brian Kilmeade's not a tall guy, though.
He's like all three of those Kilmeade people combined.
Mark, Bob Gronkowski's a big man.
Oh, I know he's big. I'm just saying.
He's not that big.
Not as big as he used to be. I mean, you can tell that he's lost a little bit of weight, but
he's like 7 foot, 250. Huge. Like, he's giant. Mark says he's not that big.
Is he?
Everybody else is just small.
No, my point is he's sitting next to Brian Kilmeade, who's probably about my height. We're about 5'10".
He's making Deucey look small, too, though, and that guy's pretty tall, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. To play in the NFL. Yeah. Anyway, who cares? Did you see the game last night? The Saints won on a 60-yard field goal.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty impressive. That's not an easy thing to do. Maybe they'll bring that soccer player and let her kick some 60-yard field goals.
That'd be fun to love. I'd love to watch
her. She might. She's probably going to try out.
Carly Lloyd, right?
I think the Bears, there's a few teams out there that could use somebody that could kick a 50-yard field goal. It's about as close as they get.
I want you guys to know that I won my fantasy football matchup by like a fifth of a point. That's all.
I just wonder how
is that possible?
They don't do full points.
Yeah, there's like. Oh. Like, a, you know, I points. Had like 114.3 mm-hmm. points or something on mine.
I squeaked that one out. Too bad, Eddie. Get your butt.
I wouldn't say that was a butt whooping.
It was a butt, a solid whooping.
All anybody's going to remember tomorrow is it a W in the win column, right?
Exactly.
That's it.
That's all it. That matters.
Let me get to Kevin here on line one. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. I'll keep it brief, and I'll hand the thing back to you after I talk, and you can answer. I'm an NRA member, and I'm also concealed carry. And what is wrong? Let's say I want to buy a gun from you, Mark. What's wrong with you and I going to an FFL gun store and do the background check right there, and then part ways? And then that's another loophole that we close. Why is the NRA fighting against that? That just I hate to use the word common sense, but that seems like that's just common sense.
Well, but you can do that today, Kevin. I mean, if I want to sell you a gun, I'm going to ask you a series of questions, because if I sell you a gun and you're not supposed to have one, I've just broken the law. I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Right, but why not take the variable out of the picture and make it mandatory to where you do have to go into an FFL? And let's say if I was somebody that had evil intent, that might deter me right there. It's like, gee, I don't want to go into this store with a bunch of guys with guns or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do, but here's the point I was making to Lars, and that I've not heard anybody tell me otherwise. Find me a single example of one of these mass shooting cases where that extra step would have stopped the person from committing the crime.
Well, I think the thing with Odessa, didn't he fail the background test and then he got the gun privately without going through an FFL?
He got the gun privately, but the guy that sold him the gun broke the law. So, for example, if you knew that if you came to me and wanted to buy a gun and I was going to have to take you with me to the range where they were going to do a background check, you'd just go get the gun somewhere else. You can go to any street corner in North St. Louis with $50 in your pocket, I'm told, and buy a gun. And they're not getting background checks up there.
Yeah, I realize that, but why not take, that's a variable, what's easier to control, the variable of buying a gun off the street or the variable of buying the gun privately and going to an FFL? Why not take that second variable that I just mentioned off the table, and now we're down to just the Saturday night special that's floating around in North St. Louis? So I just have a problem with that. Anyway, thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Kevin, thank you for the call. Here's where I see this going. It's a slippery slope to banning guns, because here's what's going to happen. Joe Manchin and Mitt Romney and all the little do-gooders are going to come together and say, oh, it's just one more thing. We're going to do the background. We're going to make everybody do a background check. You're going to have to go to a federal firearms licensee and pay $25 or whatever to get them to run a background check. That's fine. Then there'll be another mass shooting. And they'll go, oh, well, that didn't work. So now we're going to do this. We're going to ban this. Because that's not going to stop somebody intent on getting their hands on a gun. And there are 300 million of them in the United States. That's a rough estimate of the number of guns in this country. They're going to get the gun somewhere. Just like the guy Adam Lanza did up in the Newtown shooting at the school. He murdered his own mother, stole her gun, and then went and committed more murders. And what was the reaction of the town? They want to sue Ruger because the gun existed. The gun was safely locked in a safe until Adam Lanza killed his mom and stole the gun. Criminals are going to find a way around this. That's what they do. Hey, Marvin, thank you for the call.
The previous caller is just wrong. I have a lot of friends, and they sell their guns. We sell them back and forth to each other for whatever reason. We all know each other. If you're going to sell a gun to a stranger, then, yeah, it's your responsibility to go to a licensed gun dealer and have a background check done. That's just common sense. You don't sell to a complete stranger. And the other thing is they're wanting to pass this universal background check. Well, what if I pass and I want to leave all my rifles and stuff to my son? I know he's not a criminal. Why should he have to go get a background check?
Yeah, Marvin, I'm with you completely on that. I think you're right. If you're going to sell to a complete stranger, you don't do your homework. You're making a big mistake. Welcome back, and as promised, we are joined right now by Missouri Governor Mike Parson. Governor, welcome into the program.
Good to be on here this morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. And Speaker Tim Jones was on here this morning and told me you had quite a crowd for your announcement on Sunday.
We did. We had over 1,000 people there and talking about what we believe to be the future and things that were going on in the state. And we just felt like we were on the right track. So it was a great announcement in my hometown.
Before we get started on what it is you want to do and continue doing as governor, what is it you're worried about? I know you had raised some concerns about what happens in this state if Nicole Galloway or some other Democrat ends up getting the governor's office.
Yeah, I think all you have to do is look around our country right now. Look at some of the extremists on the left, where they're at when you're talking about some of them are wanting free education for everyone. They want to allow people to work or get paid and not even have to work. And then you got the new Green Deal. And all of that, when you line up on the federal level, will blend over down into the states. And whoever that nominee is, that's going to be who her leaders are. And they're going to be obligated to a certain degree to follow suit. And it just bothers me from being a military veteran, a former sheriff. I don't think that's the track. I don't believe the Democrats in Missouri believe those values that we're hearing outside of our state right now.
Yeah, I know you and I talked about this back before the end of the legislative session when they were debating the GM package. Your big focus has been workforce development. Part of that was allowing people to go back to school to get further training. The state would fund a portion of that, correct?
That is correct. We're looking at that program, trying to help people out there that maybe just needs to step up a little bit on skills and give them that opportunity to go in the workforce. We know the demand is out there in our state right now. And by doing that workforce development piece, since that time, since we started talking about that and actually getting it done, there's been 40,000 new jobs created here in the state in over a year's time. Businesses are coming to this state. Just the reality of it is. But you got to have people that are willing to go to work and make sure that workforce is prepared. But when you look at whether it's Bayer, whether it's Bungie moving their global headquarters here, whether it's the USDA moving two of their divisions out of Washington, D.C. for the first time in our nation's history and being smart enough for them to put them in the Kansas City region where they should be. I mean, there's just a lot of good things going on in our state right now. But you got to have people that's willing to work. And you got to make sure you meet those workforce demands. That's why that's been a priority since day one.
Yeah, Governor Parson, my guest this morning, what is your biggest challenge going forward? Is it infrastructure?
Yeah, I think no question about it. Infrastructure in our state is something that's lacking in a lot of areas. We got to make sure people can get into our state, and that means through our airports, that we can have destination points. You got to figure out how you do a better job of that. I think the river traffic that you're going to see in our state is going to increase probably just threefold, in the near future. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for more business, but you have to have the infrastructure in place. You can create all the workforce you want, but if you don't have the way for people to get back and forth to work safely on our highways, and again, the other thing I think I want to add with infrastructure is you got to have the broadband capability. I think I told you before, we still have 10 schools in the state that does not have broadband capability. And to really even think about raising kids up in this generation and this time and not having the ability to go to that, it's just a total disadvantage. So we got to fix some things like that. But listen, I'm telling you, we're on the right track in the state right now. Things are going well.
Governor, you had a meeting here the other day with some clergy members from St. Louis who are concerned about violence in the city. I understand you offered them some more law enforcement. I mean, we've tried that before, and basically the prosecutor here wouldn't even work with them.
Yeah, you know, that's a real problem up here. And the reality of it is, this problem hasn't just happened overnight. This has been going on for years. And, you know, it is going to take the federal government, the state government, the city, the county, and the clergymen and people in these communities to fix this problem. Other cities have done it, but none of them has done it with just one entity. So if everybody's not willing to work together on this, this is not going to change. That's just the hard truth about it. But, you know, these clergymen stepping forward, they understand the importance of what we're doing here and why we're trying to help. And I'm more than happy to put boots on the ground up here. I'll put troopers up here. I'll help with some finance if we can help with financing. But they've got to work together. Kansas City just did Triple Beam. It was a special operations up there where the feds and the state and the city and the county work together. 350 violent criminals off the streets. You know, 200 guns off the streets. I mean, those are the kind of things you got to do. But you got to take some sort of action. You got to quit talking about it.
Well, that's true. And it's not just a matter of throwing money at it, which seems to be the answer some people are seeking.
Yeah, I mean, money's not the obligation to it. You know, you can help in certain ways. When I say money, we can put people on task forces and help with those things. But you got to implement real things that make a difference. I think we've all seen where people sometimes want to just throw money at a problem and don't check to see, hey, what was the end result of that money? And the sad thing about it is that when you do that, you start one of them programs, it goes on and on and on with no better results. And I'm not interested in that. I was in law enforcement 22 years. I get what it's like out there, but I want results. And I want somebody to prove to me if we're going to help, that we're going to end up making this state better, making these communities better.
Governor Mike Parson, thank you for your time this morning, and good luck, sir.
All right, no problem. Good talk to you, Mark.
We will talk again soon. MikeParson.com is his website, at GovParsonMo on Twitter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.